Enjoy talking to Matthew Jones on a weekly basis with Olympus Legal. It's amazing. Every week we kick around ideas and try to find interesting ways to engage our listeners. And Matthew, welcome to the Morning Drive with TK. Great checking in with you. Always love your thoughts on whatever issues we throw your way.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So a lot of fans are, it's maybe an off season for FanDuel and DraftKings. I think it probably ramps up during football season. But generally speaking, they've been in the news a lot. Tell us about what you know about this move to bond together, to merge and become one major sports fantasy betting outlet.
Yeah, they've been in the news quite a bit, and there's a number of topics we can address. But in terms of the merger, the latest news has been regarding a merger between FanDuel and DraftKings, and a number of media outlets have reported that they've been in discussions to merge the two companies. Of course, it's in the very early stages, and a lot of media outlets have jumped on it. But it looks like there's a little bit of traction there. Although most people are saying that they're still a long way from actually merging, and the deal could still fall apart. But it's just a very fascinating topic, just because given the legal battles they've been having with Congress and lobbying and that sort of thing, the fact that they are talking about a merger kind of speaks to the toll that some of these legal issues are having on both companies.
Yeah, my first thought was, gee, if you're really doing well, and it seemed like both sites were rolling along until all of a sudden government oversight got involved, and there was some public outcry, and it seems if both DraftKings and FanDuel are very successful, they wouldn't want to merge. It would seem to be maybe a survival move.
Yeah, I think it is a survival move. And what is happening is, again, they're battling a lot of different, essentially 50 state legislatures trying to get daily fantasy sports, not necessarily regulated, but legal in most of these states. They're currently not operating in 11 states. And the valuation of the companies, from what I've read, at its peak, and I believe this was maybe a year ago, was around $1 billion a piece for each company. That was what they were valued at. Because of these legal battles and the potential regulation, those valuations have dropped to $500 million. And that's a 50% drop in valuation for both companies, which is a huge amount, even especially talking the numbers we're talking about. They're spending a ton of money on legal fees and lobbying fees. Estimates put it into the eight figures, so somewhere north of $10 million a piece, just with the legal efforts they're doing and the lobbying efforts. So there's a lot of, I don't want to say uncertainty, but there is some, a lot of concern about their valuation and how the companies are doing generally.
It's interesting you mentioned legal fees being, playing a role in this. And I guess at the end of the day, it's just, it would be easier to merge and dominate as one rather than to be picking each other off and sort of spreading out all the legal fees as you take on, there's going to be attacks, there's going to be questions coming from the government and from private groups. You're going to do that. So it would seem to make sense if they were going to galvanize forces and merge and be able to take it all on rather than waiting for one of the companies to go under and the other one to grow.
Yeah, and the legal fees are part of it. The other thing is that they're fighting against each other in terms of advertising. I was looking at some numbers, and they spent, in the first 8 months of 2015, they spent $205 million on just TV advertising.
Wow.
Between the two, which is a ton of money.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think it makes sense, like you were saying, to combine their forces and really dominate the market. Although with that, there's going to be a number of legal hurdles they have to overcome as well.
Are you saying that while it looks good on paper that they're going to have their own antitrust deals to deal with there? I mean, there's going to be some kind of a concern over a monopoly, I imagine.
That's exactly right. Between the two, they combined to control 95% of the daily fantasy sports market, which is actually kind of surprising. I was surprised it wasn't more. I mean, they're the only two I really know about. But apparently there are some other lesser companies. But antitrust issues would definitely be a concern. And the federal government has laws in place to prevent companies from, A, creating a monopoly, and, B, creating harm to the consumer in terms of once you have a monopoly, you can control the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Competition goes down. Innovation goes down. So the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission have certain statutes that they can use to evaluate any potential mergers between any company, and in this case specifically FanDuel and DraftKings, and they could block it if they wanted to, they can approve it, but they face a small legal analysis that I've seen, they face a real uphill battle in terms of merging together, just given the size of the two companies and the market share that they have between the two.
And so how does this affect, you know, the gaming fans, you know, say in Utah? How will the look change in the fall, if at all? I mean, I think people are concerned with too much oversight. They're concerned that, you know, their site, be it DraftKings or FanDuel, gets shut down somewhere halfway through the season. I mean, there were all kinds of concerns once the various governments got involved. So if you're playing here, is it just best to ride this out, see where it all shakes out in the next couple of months, and just do your due diligence and try to be patient?
Yeah, and it's interesting. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the subcommittee meeting that Congress was having, and by all accounts, that pretty much amounted to nothing.
I was stunned at the lawmakers really have. I mean, you'd think they would do some sort of preparing before these lower subcommittee meetings, but they didn't really know anything about it, did they?
No, there were a number of congressmen who didn't really know the intricacies of daily fantasy sports. By all accounts, well, we knew that DraftKings and FanDuel wouldn't be there. None of the major sporting entities showed up either, but there were 20 subcommittee members on that subcommittee, and by most accounts, there were no more than 10 sitting together at one time. So it was very sparsely attended anyway. And a lot of accounts have it as people not knowing what they were talking about. The conversations and the questions tend to veer off course, talking more about gambling in Nevada. So a lot of people don't think that Congress really has any interest at this point in regulating it. They're content just leaving it to the states to regulate on their own.
Right.
So to answer your question kind of a long way, in terms of Utah and the state itself, you know, it's really going to be up to each state at this point to continue to regulate. And the legislature of each state will have to determine what they want to do with daily fantasy sports. So if you're playing it, you enjoy it. Right now, all I can say is, you know, keep enjoying it. I don't see anything on the horizon, at least in terms of the federal government, shutting anything down.
Well, that's good. I mean, if you're into that, you don't want to have that, you know, you don't want to have any of those things interrupt your season or any of that. But obviously, with all these things, it's important to stay in touch and keep your eyes on the latest stories, because sometimes these things, you know, take on a new form and a new shape right before our eyes, and things change. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you: it's looking more and more like the NHL will, in fact, award a franchise to Vegas, and thereby, I mean, that would really fly in the face of years and years of professional sports leagues taking a stance that they didn't want to be anywhere near Vegas. But the NHL, I think sensing that somebody's going to be there soon, whether it's the NFL or, you know, maybe an NBA franchise, but the NHL looks like they're locked and loaded to go to Vegas.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, like you said, most of the sports leagues have tried to stay away from Vegas just because of the look in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the NFL's been talking about it, the NHL's been talking about it. I think, you know, kind of a general sense, especially with the leagues being owners of some of these daily fantasy sports, is that sports gambling is not really as frowned upon or a concern for the league as they were in the past. So, you know, unfortunately, I think it's sometimes just about the money. If they think they can make some money in Las Vegas, they'll do it, and they'll kind of worry about the gambling side and that sort of thing as it comes up. So
yeah, I would imagine of all the leagues, it would be the NHL that would go ahead and roll the dice first, because they would seem to have the least to lose, with just the sense that you know, they're looking to improve their market size and market share any way possible. And I think it's probably pretty sharp of them to go ahead and jump into the Vegas pool, because you know, I think the NFL is going to be there soon, and maybe the NBA.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Well, I always enjoy talking about you know, the legal side of sports, and in this case, you know, fantasy sports, and it's a huge part of what a lot of our listeners do on a weekly basis, especially around football season. And I know Matthew Jones at Olympus Legal will keep us abreast of what's going on in this realm. But tell us about the kind of things that are keeping you busy in the office here as we enter into the summer months.
Yeah, I'm seeing an uprise in a number of injuries, especially with workers. I know that as you know, summer activities start ramping up and places get more busy, there's a lot more workers out there who are being exposed to potential injuries and needing some legal advice. And again, I recommend strongly, we've talked about it before, but if you're injured and just have some questions, please call me. Let me help you through the process. There may be something I can do, there may be something I can do, but it's best to get your questions answered, especially when you've been injured. You want to make sure that you are getting the right medical treatment and the right benefits that you're entitled to. So please feel free to give me a call.
Yeah, it's OlympusLegal.com, and give us your number one more time, 801.
801-707-7999. Yep.
801-707-7999. And I know that Matthew answers the phone. I've talked to him often, so go ahead and give him a call. If you have any questions, there are no dumb questions. That's one of my staple lines forever, that sometimes people get bogged down thinking that, oh, well, this isn't really a good question. Well, you don't know it, and haven't you found that sometimes what people believe is a question that they shouldn't be asking ends up opening the door for a way you can help them, or a way that they can, you know, see the light through your services?
Definitely. And I deal with a lot of people who wait a very long time to come in and ask those questions because they're afraid, and that causes even more problems. So it's better to get in and ask. Even if you're afraid it's a dumb question, get in and ask, and let's get you set up early so we can make sure you're getting what you're entitled to. So.
All right, great. Great stuff. Matthew Jones with OlympusLegal.com. The number again, 801-707-7999. Give him a call. Any questions you have about personal injury, about anything that's going on with you in the workplace, Matt and his folks over at Olympus Legal can certainly put you in good shape with their answers. And if they don't know, they'll look it up and get back to you. Matthew,
yep,
thanks so much. Great checking in with you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Tom.